Welcome to Running on Indy, episode 11. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
On today's show, we're going to have what I consider an Indy running legend, five-time mini marathon winner, Gary Romesser. He holds several age group records on many different levels, and we'll get into that. Blake, you want to shout out to our sponsor real quick, 361?
Yeah, I'd like to thank 361 for bringing us here today and allowing us to bring Gary on and all that jazz. So thank you to them. And if you haven't ever tried out their shoes, go to any of the Runners Forum locations, seven of them, preferably downtown or Broad Ripple,
yeah,
and pick you up some 361 shoes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you, 361. But let's, Gary, real quick before we get started, we have a picture of you here. So this is our first, so the audience knows this is our first phone-in guest. And so this is all new to us. And so we have a picture of Gary just so we feel like we're like talking to him personally. And you have a nice smile, Gary, in this picture. I just want to let you know. And just so you know, Gary, also that me and Blake are actually just sitting here in our 361 underwear.
Yeah, we could
just picture that, audience, and Gary.
Gary is so big time, we couldn't afford his appearance fee.
Yeah, he's coming live from Fort Myers, right, Gary?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Been down here 3 years.
Oh, 3 years now. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've known Gary for a couple of years now.
More than a couple.
I think I met you. When did I meet you, Gary? Was it 2012, 13?
Probably. That sounds right.
Somewhere around there. Really good guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. And just meeting him and talking to him and learning about him and his running just amazes me of his hard work ethic he has, and it's just very inspiring for anybody.
Oh yeah.
But quick story, I'd like to tell everybody how I found out about Gary. As the audience knows, I'm originally from North Carolina, so when I moved down here, I went to NIFS, and NIFS is it's a gym that has an indoor track facility. And anywho, I was in there doing workouts with the Indiana Invaders at the time and my friend, and I saw this guy running around, and he was like, whoa. I was like, who's that guy? He's rolling fast. And he goes, oh, that's Gary Romesser. And I was like, well, who's Gary Romesser? And I was like, oh, he's an Indy legend around here. He's won the mini like five times, and he used to travel around the country and sleep in his car before races and get up and win races and all that jazz. So that was the rumor that was told about you, Gary.
Is that true, Gary?
Well, I'm trying to recall. I know one race I went to from Indy to Florida, and I didn't have time to stop in the hotel, so I stopped in the rest area. Slept for a couple hours and went to the race, and it was actually a national championship race at Jacksonville River Run, and I ended up placing in the top 15, and everybody was shocked that I didn't sleep the night before, but I've been known to sleep in my car, yes.
Hey, you save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, I think I might have won some that day, too.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, it's all about, like, you know, how much you spend versus what you win, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you came out more ahead. Yeah, the first time I remember meeting Gary, I don't know if you remember this, Gary, but you were running at the IU track, and I think you might have been running the 5K. You might have been going for a track record at the time. I know there was two other people. I know there was a high school kid who's also actually won a gold medal. Matthew Centrowitz was there. And then there was another guy who was trying to break 4 minutes at the age of 40, trying to be the first person to do that in a mile. So both of them were racing. It was kind of an interesting paradox.
Wow.
Between Centrowitz, who's like 17, 18, and this other guy was like 40, both trying to break 4 minutes. Do you remember that race, Gary?
Boy, I don't know. I've run quite a few races. one of the best in the country. And I know I've run, I think I ran a 14, 12, 5K there when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
But I don't remember that particular one.
Yeah, I remember it because you, you have a very unique running gait and like you kind of really like you can just tell that Gary's coming. You just stand out.
I know it's not like Where's Waldo. Everybody knows where I'm.
Yeah, you have like your own like unique I don't know grunt or I don't know what they call it. But...
Yeah, there's several ways to find me in the crowd.
So Gary, you coached Nick Purdy for a while. I don't know if you know this. I may be calling him out or getting him in trouble. But at the Mini a couple years ago, you ran and he ran, and your particular grunt or whatever, he heard you coming from behind.
Oh.
And he got scared. I don't know if you beat him that day or not, but he
That's
heard
right.
you.
Yes, I do remember that. I did catch him, but then he got me back. I trained him well.
I don't know if you can, like, I don't want to, like, imitate you. Do you want to try to do one of your, I mean, you have to be in the moment.
You got to come to my race.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that might be too much to try to imitate.
It's a good scare on my competition.
Oh, yeah, they hear you. I'm sure a lot of people heard you coming and were like, oh, crap, here comes Gary.
So, Gary, before we get into all the your accolades and all that jazz, one of the reasons why me and Jesse brought you in is, you know, we're both on the closer to 40 than not. And so we're approaching that master's age group.
And Blake's record. Closer than me, just
for the
record.
Yeah, I'm closer. I'm 2 years away. So I'm actually considered master's indoor. But anywho, just kind of, can you kind of touch on your thoughts about, you know, reaching 40 and Father Tom and just kind of
sure.
slowing down and how mentally, for somebody like me who's approaching that and going to experience that very, very soon, or if not already experiencing that, kind of help me kind of process that and other runners out there that are going through that as well.
Okay. As a competitive runner, I think we all go through those phases where we think, are we getting too old to compete? And just before I was 40, I was looking at my times and I was thinking, I could compete with the top masters, but I needed to step up my program. So I went back in my running logs and I looked to see when I ran my PRs, what kind of training I was doing. So I proceeded to train the same as I did when I was younger, and it all started coming together again. And I also, my work, they allowed me to go part-time so I could do all the training. And so once I turned 40, I went to some top races, and that was the only way I could get my name out. And I won several in a row. And then there was a big one in Florida again. It was called the Red Lobster, the 10K. And I bargained with the race director because I was trying to make some money at it too, because that was what was motivating me. And I said, well, if I get in the top three masters, because they had a lot of ex-Olympians running in the masters categories, and they said, well, we don't even know who you are. And I said, well, give me a chance. If I get in the top three, will you pay my airfare? So they agreed to it. I wore my University of Indianapolis jersey, went back and forth with this Mexican that was an Olympian when he was younger, one of the favorites. I kept throwing in surges, and I broke him about the last mile, and I think that was kind of my breakthrough. So I think when I turned 40, I just went back to train hard. I knew my times wouldn't be as quick, but I could still be competitive. And there were more motivations for me. You know, prize money was kind of something hard to get when I was under 40. But all of a sudden, I had a chance to make some money and be competitive. So those kind of, I went to the big races and I won prize money. People started knowing my name. And that's when I decided I needed to try to get a sponsor. And I wrote to all the top running shoe companies. And I ended up getting a contract with Nike. And so I think turning 40, even though I was running slower times, I was still the same competitor. And I got recognized being a master. So I think all those kind of things helped motivate me to just get out there and be the same competitive person. And the other thing I was going to say, now they have age-graded performances, which is they look at the world records for the young, for the prime runners, and then they look at the best times for the older age groups, and they extrapolate times. So 100% on age graded would be the world record time, and it'd be like the top master's time for that age category, 5-year age category. So I'd say the top runners in open races run between 88% and 95%. Anything over 90% is considered world class. So I've run several over 90. My best has been 95%.
Wow.
And that's what kind of keeps me motivated as I'm older. And, you know, I don't run as fast, but I can shoot for that age graded performance.
Wow. I've never heard of the age grading.
Yes, it's very cool.
They base that off world records?
They revise the charts every few years. They have a world organization, as well as USATF, has those charts. So you can go to the USATF site and just plug in age graded performance and find out when anybody runs in a race, as long as it's a certified course, and find out what their performance is.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I've never heard of that.
And if you're a top competitor at the national masters races, they have 5-year age groups, and then they have overall prize money. And most of the time it's the 40 to 45 year old masters, but then they have the age graded money too. So I could be 67 and get the best age graded performance and win $1,000.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you something, Gary. If let's say an athlete comes to you and they're in their 40s, and let's say they're not a top competitor, they've never really been a top competitor, and you know, but they find themselves slowing down, getting slower. They're just a regular runner, you know. And how would you approach them, and what would you tell them to give them advice, and about keeping them motivated and keeping them okay. going?
Well, it just depends on where their goal is to begin with. Like, you know, if they want to maintain the level of competitiveness, you know, there's the age group categories. I have them look up locally, what do you want to be in your age group? And then train for that based on what your times are. I also think if they look up their age graded performance when they were young, they could look to their current age and see what an age-graded performance would be equivalent to the time when they set their PRs. So that way they feel like they're setting a PR if they do a better age-graded performance than when they ran the PR when they were younger. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that age grading thing is awesome. I never heard of that.
And you can do it with yourself. You know, it's self-motivating.
Yeah. So you can still be, like, technically, like, you're running superior performances even though your time's slower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like, for instance, I don't know if you've heard of Ed Whitlock. He was 85. He's Canadian. And he was always competitive. But when he was 82, he ran a 1:38 half marathon.
Whoa.
When he was 82. He's the only person to ever break 3 hours in the marathon at age 70.
Holy crap. Yeah,
and he recently just passed, didn't he?
Yeah, he passed away earlier last year. But when he was 85, he ran a 1:50 half marathon.
Whew.
And I think he broke 4 hour marathon.
Oh man. So
I'm just looking to run at 85.
3% because it was considered greater than the world record age graded.
That's amazing.
Wow. I'll tell you, he was a pretty good runner in his prime too. Like he wasn't no slouch.
Yes. Yeah. I met him when I was 40, 45 up in Rice in New York, and just a nice guy, but he loved to compete. So people like that motivate me, and we got to have things like that to keep us going.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's all about what motivates you. And I think that age graded thing is awesome. And I think that'll work for people at any level. Gary,
yeah,
like
you can just,
oh, go ahead.
You can just Google age graded performances and you should find a site that tells you how to do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely look into that. I don't know if I'm gonna get much of an age grading at my age at this point, but
so what you're saying?
You'd be surprised.
All right, I'll take anything I can get.
So what you're saying, Gary? When I turn 40, Jesse's a couple years behind me. So when I turn 40 first and he finally hits 40, I can be his motivation to keep going and keep running competitively.
Yes. you can run your best ever on the age graded. So, you know, it might be slower, but performance-wise, it's even better.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, what has been like, as you've gotten older, physically, like, how has it changed for you compared to when you were younger?
Wow, that is a good question. Because it's still the same game. You got to figure out where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
I've been running 50 years and competitive years. And every year is a little different. You know, if it's getting over injuries or refining my form. Like recently, my stride has slowed down, so now I'm practicing to get a fuller stride because I've been too choppy and it's been hurting my times. So, you know, there's always something to improve on, and that's the way I look at it.
I think that's amazing, Gary, that even though you get older, you're still trying to improve. You're still motivated to get better and to do little things like that, like work on your stride. I mean, that's the testament to who you are as a person, and how strong you are too.
Go ahead, Gary.
You guys know how exciting it is just to be competitive. So, however we can bring out that competitiveness within us. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
How old you are, how long you've been.
I would say, like, more people than not quit, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I would say from my experience, more people quit because they just lose it, the mental motivation as opposed to the physical. Do you agree with that?
I do. And believe me, it was when I turned 40, I went through a lot of changing my mindset, you know, that of being up there with the front runners, I could for a while, but when I started getting 45, 50, it's like I had to have a different perception and challenge than to stay with the top runners, because it's depressing when you're used to running with them and they're pulling away from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could totally see that. So it's like a reshifting of goals. So I think that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You have to change your mindset.
Yeah. And some people, I just...
still...
I think actually people that come into running later in life are probably are more set up to run later, as opposed to some people that had like you, Gary, where you were like a front runner your whole life, and then suddenly you have that new challenge where you're not up the front anymore. I feel like that's that could be like a huge mental hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, but it's great about running. You can start at any age and they'll enjoy competing and improving and challenging.
Yeah, and that's one of the themes of our podcast for sure. We always want to reiterate that running is a lifelong sport. So if you just get, you just got to, like, you can always do it. You just got to keep your, whatever, you got to set goals and keep into it mentally, I think, is the biggest thing. And you can do it forever at a high level,
the
obviously.
Programs like you're doing is so good for running, because it helps educate people and encourages, and we all need that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, every one of, I'm sure Blake needs it, and I know I need it. So I love.
I do too.
That's why. Yeah, I know. That's why we started the podcast, because we want to talk to people like you, Gary, and not selfishly for us too. So you know, we can learn and stay motivated.
Well, I'm nowhere on the level you were or ever were, but. You're my motivation,
Gary. Good.
Well, thank you, Gary. But I'm realistic too, so you were a stud. And you're my motivation, and I always say, you know, if Gary can run this fast at in his 40s, then damn it, I can too. maybe not your times, but you know, keep running at a high level into my 40s. So seeing you do it, helps me.
This is probably a good time. Can you tell us some of the age group and, just in general, some of the accomplishments other than the, obviously we've already mentioned the 5-time mini marathon. Can you tell us some of your other accomplishments?
Sure. First, I want to tell Blake, I've seen him come a long way, and he's really went to the next level since I've known him, and that's very exciting. So I feel honored that he uses me as a role model. But I have had some great achievements. When I started running, I heard all these stories about people that, top runners that quit running, and they started having heart problems and stuff. So I told myself, well, this is a lifetime commitment. And, you know, running gives so much. You don't want to quit. So my PRs were like in my early 30s. I won the 5 minis. I won the first 3 minis that I was in, and then I won one 3 years later. And when I was the top, when I was 40, I was the top American runner, masters runner. And I ranked 3rd in the world. So every 10 years, I decided I'm going to go for it. When I turned 50, I went to the World Championships. They were in Brisbane, Australia. And again, I took part-time leave and went and trained in Florida and ended up racing against Rod Dixon in the for my first race, 8K cross country.
Rod Dixon's a pretty formidable runner.
Yeah.
Bronze medalist in the 10K. Yeah.
Yes, and he said he was going to go for some record times. So I thought when I got there and found out, well, I'll try to settle for second, because I trained so hard. I was always thinking first, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it turned out the course was 3 loops, and they had a water barrier every lap. I took off really fast, and I wondered where everybody was. My guys passed me. In the water jump, I'd watched some people in races before, and it looked like a piece of cake. Well, I got to the water jump, and I fell in two times in a row.
That's awesome.
So after four guys passed me, they started slowing down, and I caught up with Dixon, and we started running side by side. On the last loop, I had a strategy where I was going to surge at certain points, and I surged and broke away from him. And nobody knew me over there. I was Mr. USA, but they all knew Rod Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody was screaming. So the last water jump, I knew he was behind me. I knew I had to make it. And because when you don't make it, you're calling out on all fours. So I got to the jump, and I just gave it everything I had. And to my own astonishment, I made it. I didn't have to crawl out of the ditch. So, I threw in the rest of my surges, and, of course, you know, he got silver medal, I think, in the 1500 in the Olympics. I didn't want to be close to him at the finish. So I turned around on the last turn, which was about 200 yards to go, and he was too far back to catch me if I just maintained. So that was a lifetime race. And I went on to win a silver medal in the 5,000 and the gold medal in the 10,000. And
oh,
it
wow.
was an awesome experience. So that accomplishment-wise, that was one of my greatest.
And how old were you at that time?
I was 50.
50.
Why yeah. did they have water jumps in a cross-country race?
That's European style.
Well, European, it was on a golf course, so it was like through a stream and stuff. They try to make it more challenging, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. They want it to be harder than the American cross-country.
Yeah.
They should have given you a heads up so then you can train for the jumps. Because if you hadn't failed, you probably would have blasted them.
I know.
It makes for a better story, though, Gary.
Yes, it was pretty awesome. And I guess, so that year I ran 111 at the Mini when I was 50.
Wow.
And that was an American age record. I've had 14 American age records from 5K to the half marathon. And there were single age records. I'm trying for an age group record now that in the half it's 123.50.
Whew. And how old are you, Gary, right now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 67.
67. So you'd be trying for the 65 to 69?
Yes.
And what's that record again?
It's 123.50.
Oh, man. Do you know how many people that are younger than us or our age that that would love to run a 123.50?
I ran a 126 2 years ago at the Mini, and I just keep trying. You know, that's what is exciting and keeps me going.
Yeah, I mean, like we were saying, like you got to have goals, and if that's what keeps you running, I mean, I think that's gonna be awesome. We'll have to, if you get that, let us know, and we'll make an update on our website.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
So Gary, talk about you've raced Bill Rogers. If our audience doesn't know who Bill Rogers is, he won the Boston Marathon a couple of times. They called him Boston Bill. And you raced him in your 40s, correct? Or was it in your 30s?
Yes.
Okay. Can you kind of talk about the races with him?
Well, I remember one race in Indianapolis. It was an 8K. I thought I had Rogers beat. With a mile to go, I was up with the leaders, and he was nowhere in sight. Next thing I know, here he comes storming by me, caught the first runner, and ended up getting the American record for Masters record. So that's the start of my competitiveness with him. And I finally started beating him, and we traded off for a while. And then one year at the Mini, they had a big write-up on the Bromesser Rogers challenge. And I'm usually a fast starter, so I kind of got away from him, and I never looked back. And I ran a really good time that year, but it's all about competition, I think, you know, for guys like us. And it motivated me and got me the win. So
what, of the five times that you've won the Mini, what was your favorite year, you think? What's the most memorable?
Wow. See, that's a hard question. The first year is always so exciting and memorable. And Tom Burleson was in the race. And,
oh, yeah.
And it looked like it was going to be between him and me for the win. So we were cranking side by side. And I forget where I threw in a surge, but I kind of got in front of him. And I just kept pushing. And so that was my first win.
Oh, wow.
And he was second. And that was my fastest time, actually, in the Mini.
Do you remember what year that was?
Let's see. 83.
Yeah, and Tom used to run for Athletics West, which is Nike, essentially.
Yes. And he had just come back to Indiana, and I had been in Florida for a while and came back to Indiana, and so we were in good shape and head-to-head. We ran against each other in college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tom ran for Butler, and you ran for UIndy, right?
Yes.
Oh, Crosstown Rivals.
Same.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys ever meet up for workouts and train together, or was it like this rivalry? It was like, I'm going to do my own and kind of stay away from him. How was that?
We just never happened to connect. He was in Bloomington for a while.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so it never worked out so we could. We always talked about it.
Yeah, I know some guys around town that I'm the same way with. We always talk about working out. Whatever. Yeah.
We know it'd be good, but
yeah, it just never works out.
Yeah.
And I think one of those Minis, Frank Shorter, who's another running legend, he's a gold medalist for all our listeners.
Marathon.
In the marathon. The last American, I think, to win a gold medalist was Frank Shorter, if I'm not mistaken. He had some kind words for you as well. Can you kind of touch on that a little bit?
Well, you know, I followed him. He was my role model when I was a kid, and him and Bill Rogers.
Yeah, I think those two have been like a lot of long distance runners role models for sure.
Yeah, because they were top in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'd go to races when I was young and he'd win them all and always inspirational. And I finally met him. And so he started commentating for the Indy Mini. And I had met him the night before, and I told him I was going for a record, and I think that's when I was 50. And so I came across the finish line in 111, and he announced that was a world-setting performance or something, world-class performance, that's what he said. And so that made me feel like I was almost at his level.
I got a funny story about that Frank Shorter as well, actually.
Good.
One year, you know, he does the commentating, like you said, and one year I was running the Mini, and I happened to get on the broadcast, and Frank Shorter, like, they had announced that I had just ran Boston, like, 2 weeks before, and then Frank Shorter basically said, "Wow, that's stupid. Why is he running the Mini?" they're like Jesse Davis, local athlete, just got 27th at Boston. Now he's running the Mini, and Frank Shorter's like, That's just so dumb. You need more time than that to recover.
Didn't you that year?
I don't remember actually what I did that year.
You probably needed more time to recover.
Yeah, I probably need more recovery time. He's probably right.
Because I've done that same thing.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of people have.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is another Gary story. Didn't you run Boston, then a week later run a 10K and run like a 29 flat or something like that? Am I wrong?
No, that is right.
Oh, okay.
I had a disappointing Boston, and I was living in California at the time, and I went to a 10K on the track at Stanford, and I ran 29:30. But it was, the temperature of the track was 140 because it was so hot.
Wow.
Holy crap.
So, and that was only 5 days after Boston, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man, you probably would have broken a world record if you didn't run Boston that day. That hurts my legs thinking about it.
But I thrive in the heat. Everybody knows I usually can do well in the heat.
Yeah, I could totally see that about you. Yeah, you're a pretty gritty runner. You can tell you can push through a lot. Just anybody that watches you,
well,
can tell
you.
That's
why I moved to Florida, because it's too cold up there.
I don't blame you. I may be moving down there. It's pretty cold here right now.
Well, I know you talked about it. You mentioned it. But Indianapolis, University of Indianapolis, inducted you into the Hall of Fame. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Sure, Blake. My high school coach was Tom Hathaway, who's kind of a legend in himself. And he got me a scholarship to University of Indianapolis because his college roommate was a cross-country coach. And I'd had injuries. I didn't start running until I was a junior in high school. And I had injuries, so no top schools really knew about me. But he talked to his college roommate and got me a scholarship there. So I had a good 4 years there. I broke several records, and I still have. We ran 3 miles back then, and I ran a 13:58, which is equivalent to like 14:20 5K. And so Coach Hathaway always was trying to get me inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I didn't think anything about it, but then when I got inducted, it was just very awesome. They gave me a ring, and they it was just very fun. They had a life-size picture of me when I was in college, one of those cardboard things.
That's awesome.
Man, that would have been better than this little piece of paper I have.
Although we do like looking at your picture, Gary.
It was very fun, and you know, it's nice to be honored.
Oh yeah, while we're on that, I'd like to make a plug for myself to be inducted to my college Hall of Fame. Just want to throw that out there, USI. If you want to induct me, I would appreciate
USI,
that.
USI, okay. You have some good running grounds down there.
Oh yeah, lots of hills. It's great training down there. The only problem is they like blew up on their athletes after I left. We got all these people getting like crazy, like all Americans, like galore, yeah. Sub 4 minute milers, and like I think they all forgot about. I think they forgot about me.
Man, well that's crazy.
I know. Most of my
in high school. I never got inducted because I wasn't that good. You've improved since college, even for sure.
Oh yeah, I've gotten better as I've gotten older. Actually, yeah. I think a lot of the people that used to run when I was in college and high school have actually like moved on, so it helps too.
That's true. Well, how many Olympic trials were you in?
I've made two of them, 2012 and 2016, and I've decided as of like this week I'm gonna make an attempt at a third one. We'll see if we can do it. I just got into the elite field for grandmas in June, so. See if I can take a shot at it.
Did you run that one?
I've run it twice, yeah, and I've run well there before, so hopefully you can do it again.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really fast.
It's net downhill. It's got a little rolling and a little hilly, but it's
I like a little roll, though. Yeah. I don't like it completely fat. Yeah. So.
So as long as he doesn't run like a grandma, he'll be fine.
They have a reward for actually the fastest grandma, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool. The first guy I ever coached ran, he got second there. His name was Jeff Evans, but he ran 218, I think there, maybe 216.
That's
but race of his year, of his career.
Yeah. I think I ran 218.26 is my best there, and I definitely didn't get second. I think I was like, I know I was top 20. It's a fast race.
I think it was a weak year that he got second.
Yeah, it's a quick race. A lot of good runners come out for that one.
Yeah, like those guys like that win like end up breaking like 210 or run around 210.
Oh, like I think 206 won the year I was there.
Jesus.
But, yeah, wow. It's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Gary, real quick before we close up, you want to tell us about what you're doing in Florida now? Just so we can catch up with you. I haven't seen you in forever.
Well, I still have that passion for running, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm retired. I just bought a house. I'm trying to develop a coaching program down here. But nobody knows me like they do back in Indiana.
No, you might do some online coaching then.
I've coached some individuals, and so that's what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah,
I've been training twice a day. That always works for me, and I get to get outside and enjoy this great weather.
Yeah.
So, can you tell the audience, Gary, what is a typical week training with Gary Remesser?
Well, I usually divide my training into three sessions. The first is the base. I'll train up to 100, even like I did 120 miles a few weeks ago. Then my second phase is speed, and I'll cut back to 80 or 90. And, you know, this is 7 days a week, twice a day. And then when I race, I cut back and focus just on the speed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Somewhat similar to Lydiard training a little bit, I guess.
It is. Yeah. He's my man.
Yeah. I mean, he has been for a lot of people over the years.
Yeah. He was very successful.
Oh, yeah. So, Gary, like, real quick, I know you said you're looking for athletes. What if someone wants to be coached by Gary Remesser? What do they need to do?
Well, I'm on Facebook. They could connect with me through Facebook. I could send them information on my coaching program. I've coached some really good runners, John Perret from Indy, Nick Purdy, as you mentioned. When I won the mini my second year, I coached the female winner that year, Lori Veal. I like to do long distance coaching even, and have been very successful. So I appreciate the plug. I would enjoy coaching people from Indy.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people could benefit from, your obvious wisdom. So,
Gary knows what he's doing. He's definitely running knowledge there. Yeah. Ton of running knowledge.
Before
Blake has worked with me, he knows.
Yes. He's your speed stuff is totally awesome.
Yeah, I incorporated. Yeah. I never worked with you, but I've incorporated from time to time. I know you do a lot of strides, like the 20-second strides during a regular run and stuff. So
yeah,
cool. It's a good way to keep in touch with your speed without like overdoing it, for sure.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
keep that turnover too.
Yeah, you want to keep the turnover, especially when you get older. I think like you kind of like it takes longer to dial that back in.
You're right, and that's been my challenge.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm like, I'm not even that old yet, and I like it takes me a lot longer to get my leg speed going than it used to. Used to, I could just run like all out whenever without training, and now it takes me a little while to get that.
I know, it's a bummer. Too bad.
I know, it's total bummer. I agree.
But you get my age, Jesse.
Well, hey Gary, if I'm doing half of what you're doing at your age, I'll be pretty happy.
You will be, I'm sure.
Before we go, let's make sure we want to give out another plug to 361, they're the sponsor of this podcast. I don't know much to say, like, other than, I mean, we have our 361 underwear on right now. Mm-hmm. We got our 361 Gooders, and that's it. And, well, are we 361 shoes? Mm-hmm. What shoes are you wearing?
I am wearing the Sensations. These are my chill shoes. Mm-hmm. I like them. They feel comfy.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing the Chasers tomorrow morning, though, for my tempo that I'm doing. My fartlek, I'm sorry. And, Gary, we're going to send you a pair of 361 shoes as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'll make sure I try to get those to you.
I really appreciate your time and what you're doing for sport.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. We're not done with you yet, so don't hang up. I got to tell everybody I'm wearing my... Producer Brian, he's wearing some 361s too.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. Which ones Brian got on?
He's got the Spinjets.
Spinjets, yeah. He loves them. Oh man, he's going crazy. He has the...
He's dancing right now in the studio.
He's also wearing his 361 underwear and 361 Gooders. And we're all wearing 361 knee-high socks.
Yes, we are.
And again, that's it.
Anyway. No, they're a good company. They do me and Jesse really well.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, and we really appreciate it.
Can you send me some of their underwear?
We can.
We'll get you 361 underwear. New ones, too.
I must warn you, though, as soon as you wear their underwear, you're not going to wear any more underwear but 361.
Just want to remind everybody, subscribe to our podcast, give us 5 stars, like us on Facebook, Twitter. We have our Facebook page running on Indie. Everything's running on Indie. Just check that out. Anything else? I mean, like, as far as promoting our next show, we don't know what order we're going to do, but we're going to be... we're going to talk about being a parent and running, and we might do it from the guy's perspective and the flip and the women's perspective. Yeah. So
the challenges of raising kids and working a job, and well, Gary, you did it too.
Great topic. Yeah. Yeah. And something that we don't know nothing about.
No.
So we got to bring in some guests.
So I don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning for a crying baby. I have two crying cats, though, that wake me up. But
yeah, dog does that for me. I got to wake up pretty early for the dog. Yeah. So I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
All right. So, well, thank you for listening to the show. And I just want to remind everybody, make sure to keep running on Indy. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on tonight, Gary.